Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It's Friday. You know what that means. It's time for U105 of the Best, your weekly roundup of the top chat, interviews and quizzing on Northern Ireland's best mix, U105. This week's U105 breakfast show was nautical by nature, with Morris and Denise talking about 80s bands taking to the high seas and a door selling at auction for a Titanic price.
In the papers today, Gavin and Stacey fans with a tidy £1,400 can go on a luxury cruise with NASA star Ruth Jones.
Oh, she's class.
She has signed up for a literature festival on the Queen Mary 2, 7 nights steaming from Southampton to New York in November, costs £1,419. Fans of Ruth, who has also penned 3 novels, are told Ruth Jones is best known for outstanding and award-winning television writing, most notably Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah, and literature, there's two of my favourite things, Gavin and Stacey.
There you go, a literature cruise on the QM2.
Stopping off in New York, did you say, as
yes,
well?
Yes, Southampton to New York.
That'd be worth investing in, I think.
Off you go, John. Yeah. I've heard of a lot of these sort of kind of hobby-themed cruises.
Yes.
So there have been adult-only cruises for quite a while, but I have also heard of an 80s cruise. There's an 80s cruise that goes out of Miami or somewhere.
Oh, right.
And all of the big sort of stars of the 80s get on and do turns on the ship.
Should that be class?
Like, who was it? I was very surprised at seeing. It was one of the rock bands from the 80s. Was it?
Not Motley Crue?
I don't think it was Motley Crue. No,
I'd be there.
But these are big yeah, stars. And they're right. Just on there doing their thing. And they're walking around the ship and everyone's enjoying
sure,
the whole
thing.
Yeah. I know, amazing. And then I saw a heavy metal cruise.
Right.
Which is just class. These full-on thrash metal bands.
Yeah.
On a cruise ship, all going nuts. Yeah. It is.
Oh, you need your T-shirt and your jeans. Sure, you're fine.
I'm trying to remember who that is. Was it Journey or somebody?
It's maybe Journey.
Steve Lukather or something. I can't remember.
Wow.
But, yeah, I remember seeing it. Savage Garden. That was yesterday. Relocating 2 rose bushes.
Oh.
This garden savaged me many times. So they've just announced the lineup for the 2025 80s cruise.
Okay.
They must have just had the 2024 one.
Right.
Because I see the date is like the 2nd of March next year. But lineups, it's all right for next year so far, but there are more names to be announced.
Uh-huh.
Adamant.
Good.
Adamant. Christopher Cross, Squeeze, Sheila E., Men at Work, Andy Bell of Erasure.
Uh-huh.
Hosted by Downtown Julie Brown.
Who?
Do you remember Downtown Julie Brown, the MTV DJ?
I don't know her. I know Paul King. That's about my
Downtown
head.
Julie Brown. Quiet Riot.
I don't know them.
What? You've been an 80s rocket chick. You don't know Quiet Riot?
I should.
Tapai Musical Youth.
We'll pass the Dutchie.
The Alarm, strangely enough.
Good.
And many more to be announced. That's this year's lineup. Or next year. AC/DC, as it says in this message, decibels at the max. Good morning, if you've got your decibels at the max. Did it sell out, the big AC/DC gig?
Oh, did it? I don't know. A lot of people I know getting tickets, yeah.
Yeah. So if it did sell out, imagine if you were able to get tickets and go off and see them somewhere else, like maybe a nice European destination with maybe a nice, lovely hotel for a couple of nights. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, are you hinting at something?
I'm not hinting at anything. I am not hinting at anything. I am merely saying it would be lovely.
It would be like a concert of a lifetime, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely.
Yeah.
It's Morris and the Dean's here till 9. We hope you're well this Tuesday morning. Imagine paying £570,000, over £500,000, for a lump of wood.
For a lump of wood?
For a lump of wood.
Had Elvis that on it, though?
No. No, and it's not even Keanu Reeves for your next movie.
Oh, that's cruel.
No, it's not even from the Titanic. It's from the movie The Titanic.
Right.
The door panel, which saved Rose from drowning in Titanic, has sold for a whopping £570,000 for a prop from a movie that wasn't even the original piece of wood from a Titanic.
Oh my goodness.
The iconic prop saw Kate Winslet's character stay afloat, and while love interest Jack, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, sadly didn't, the piece of wood from the 1997 film had a pre-sale estimate of $65,000, which is way more than it should have been anyway.
Goodness, yeah.
But a bidding war started, and some buck agent bought it for £570,000.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that obscene?
Yeah, it is.
Like,
actually,
who, or what, by when? Want
yeah,
that?
She didn't even save him. She didn't even save
no,
him.
She
in
didn't,
the end.
No, she didn't.
Being close to your siblings is one thing, but could you work with them as well? Kim Kelly joined Thank on the U105 phone in to talk through workers who like to keep it in the family.
Do you work with your brother or sister? Do you work very closely with them? Holly Willoughby apparently depends on her sister Kelly when it comes to work, and Kelly's sort of been the manager and the organiser down through those very successful years. Also, the supermodel Gazelle, is that the proper pronunciation of the young woman's name? May be, may not be, but she is managed by her twin. Lady Gaga, her sister Natalie, pulls all the strings there as well. And Linda Lopez, who's the sister of Jennifer, is very central to all of that. Giselle is the supermodel, apparently. That's the proper pronunciation, with a bit of jizz and a bit of zeal. Well, let's concentrate on the zeal. Right, this is U105. Good morning to you. Good morning to Kim Kelly. Morning, Kim.
Hello there.
Kim, do you have a brother or sister or anyone that you've worked with down through the years very closely?
Yeah, I mean, I have an older sister. I also have a younger sister and a brother. I don't think I would like any of them to manage me because they're so bossy and you would end up falling out with them. Not that I don't love them dearly.
Yes.
Of course I love them dearly. But the relationship between siblings is quite a curious one. And I noticed that most of the examples that you gave are very glamorous, successful people. And their sibling, there's no nice way of saying this, but their sibling tends to be a sort of plainer, sort of quieter version of them. This seems to work very much whenever there's one who's a huge star and really beautiful, and then the other one is a sort of little mousy sort of a character, which is a strange thing.
Yes, but this isn't necessarily the way with these people. I have to say, I don't know Natalie Gaga, or I don't know Linda Lopez.
Linda Lopez is quite, she's a perfectly nice 50-year-old woman, but she's not Jennifer Lopez. I mean, Jennifer Lopez is like a god from another country. You know, Jennifer Lopez is just this incredible looking woman. Linda Lopez just looks like a normal 50-year-old woman. She's very ordinary looking. I'm sure she has all the trappings of Jennifer's life, but she's very different. It's a little bit like that film. Do you remember The Bodyguard back in the day with Whitney Houston? And her sister was very close to her, but her sister was like a plain little mousy version of her. And of course, spoiler alert, the sister was the one who was trying to kill her in the end, wasn't it? So, not that I'm suggesting that that's going to happen.
While you were talking, I've been groping and I've managed to find pictures. Terrible moment. I've managed to find pictures. And Gazelle and her twin, one's a supermodel, the other's just beautiful looking. Patricia.
Yes, so she's a lot plainer. She'll be a lot sort of like a plainer version. I mean, it must actually be good because I would imagine that being Jennifer Lopez must be a bit of a pain most days. You know, like, okay, she's got all this fame and everything, but it must be annoying. Not so much as walk to the shop. Like, you're slagged off online the whole time. It must actually be nice to be the plainer, less successful sister who has loads of money because you work for her. It must be a wonderful, if you can get on. The problem with these relationships is quite often they turn quite toxic. I think, you know, they quite often end up falling out. I mean, we've seen a lot of these sort of fallings out. Do you remember the story about Ollie Murs? And his twin brother.
He fall out with his twin brother? Gosh, I didn't even know he had a twin brother. But let's not hammer Ollie's twin brother in case he's got a massive solicitor. I'm just looking here. Lady Gaga and Natalie. I think Natalie is, you know, just fabulous looking. Also, Patricia, who is the twin of the supermodel, I think she's fabulous looking. So all of these women look great. Lana Del Rey has a sister called Caroline who looks great, who works for her. Jennifer Lopez and Linda, I think Linda ticks all those boxes as well. But I'm working my way across the pictures here to Holly and Kelly, Holly Willoughby and Kelly. Kelly, in fairness, must be she looks more, how do I put this subtly but accurately? She looks more maternal than sisterly.
Yeah, she'd be a little bit chubbier. She's got dark hair. She's just a normal girl. You know, there's nothing sort of, you know.
But she looks a lot older. She looks more like her mom.
She does. Probably, yes. It does seem to be the dynamic, doesn't it? But that's okay. I guess whenever you reach a certain level of fame, maybe the only person you can trust is your sister. Because, I mean, these people lead such gilded lives. I mean, the likes of Jennifer Lopez and Holly Willoughby, everything they say gets into the press. I mean, they lead lives. I mean, they're so photographed. They're on the cover of all these magazines. They, you know, particularly if you think in the last year, Holly Willoughby, the stuff they've written about her, it's horrendous. I mean, it really is. You know, she's been absolutely dragged through the papers. So it must be nice to have a sister who you can just be yourself with and who you trust not to run to the press, who you trust not to treat you differently.
Yeah, and quite a few of the footballers now use their brother or their dad or their mum, indeed, as their manager. I think Harry Kane's a perfect example of that. His brother's his manager. Keeping it in the family, you're going to be keeping the money in the family as well.
Well, you are. And the only problem with this is you're sort of breaching professional like standards, really. You know, like if you hire a manager, obviously, you know, he has to follow a certain code of conduct. Whereas if it's your mummy, like I know lots of the young footballers, it's their mummies who are their managers. So I don't, you know, which is great whenever you're young, because if you've got a 17-year-old boy, probably the best person to be his manager is his mum, because nobody knows him. And also he'll do whatever his mummy says, because you know what boys are like. If you can keep it proper, I think it's a great thing, but quite often these things end up in sort of, you know, tatters. I mean, look at Drew Barrymore. She ended up divorcing her parents, and it ended up being really bad.
Yeah, well, Drew had a questionable, I suppose, existence in terms of the challenges that she faced down through the years. Having the family on board isn't necessarily going to add to your success or guarantee success. But I on the footballers element of it, I sometimes think, you know, guys like Wayne Rooney, who grew up in Liverpool and never had to go any further than Liverpool or Manchester to become a multi-millionaire. It must have been so much easier for him than it is for the like of the lads who come from Argentina to make it Paraguay to make it in England. And they're away from home from their 16 or 17 years of age. Having family around you has to be a real support mechanism.
Vital. I mean, funny, I was wondering that. I was watching the football the other day with my son, and he was pointing out some boy who was 16 or 17 and he was playing his first game, and they were over in Paris, although he's based in England. I sort of said to Dad, but who goes with him? He's only 16 or 17. I mean, does he have a chaperone? I mean, he's over 16, probably not. But I mean, that couldn't be very nice to be a boy from, you know, from like Africa or South America, were in England, and then having to go to France on your own, staying in a hotel. And it must be a bit, you know, like these children, anybody who is the mother of a 16 or 17 year old, they're babies, you know.
Well, they are babies, but they do get much more guidance and chaperoning, as you say, from clubs now than they would have done back in the time when the likes of George Best was being unleashed and allowed to do as he pleased at 15, 16 years of age. There's a greater, I suppose, responsibility taken, a greater element of responsibility taken now by the clubs who have learned from the failings of the past, even the Paul Gascoignes of this world who wouldn't have had the proper control from a young age. They just need to be guided because they are kids. There's no question about that. And young people are coming through the media as well, show business and all of that. If you can have the guidance indeed of another family member, I think 9 times out of 10 it is going to be a plus. But sometimes, as you said at the very beginning, it's not easy working with a brother or sister. You know, you don't like to be shouting the orders. You don't like them shouting the orders to you. It's easier to work. I think it's easier to work with people that when you go home, you've no more dealings with them.
Yes, it probably is. It probably is. It can get a bit draining. Like, I imagine it's very hard to deal with these young footballers. I mean, I just imagine them at 16, 17 years old. Of course, they think they know everything at that age and, you know, give them a bit of money and they just go nuts. I imagine, like, you know, they rows between these young footballers and their parents going, get to bed now. I don't care if you're in a hotel. I don't care if you're playing for Manchester. You know, you need to get to your bed now. And it must end up in absolute rise the whole time. But
what about the element of non-fame where youngsters are, you know, where brothers are working with sisters, sisters are working with sisters and so on, we're working with siblings on building sites or working with siblings in shops. Is that a challenge?
I think I'm seeing this more and more, actually. On social media, I'm seeing a lot of mums and daughters setting up shops together, particularly bridal shops. This seems to be a thing. It means that they can cater for a wider age group. I think the mums and daughters work quite well together. Any siblings I've seen, now there are some, but it does seem to end quite badly at times. Anywhere where you're bringing money in and running your own business can always be a challenge, can't it? You know, if one person's in charge of money and maybe the other person's in charge of stock, and then there's discrepancies, you know. I mean, obviously anywhere where there's money, you're going to have rows and feuds, so it's best maybe to keep it more on a professional level. I think if you're going to enter into business with a brother or sister, go to a solicitor and get it all nailed down properly and have an accountant, because otherwise it's going to end and, oh, you have this and I don't have that and you took this, and, you know, it's, that's the way brothers and sisters get on and becomes toxic very, very quickly.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want, is the toxicity that goes with some relationships. Kim, thank you. It's a negative analysis, if you don't mind me saying. Do give us a ring, 02890-333-105. How closely are you working with...
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your brother or sister, is it working well for you? Maybe you've set up a business and it's going from strength to strength. Maybe you got, you know, Frank and Robert brothers in arms.
Did you know March was the month of detox, where people give up chocolate in preparation for their Easter eggs? we asked our very own selection box of U105 presenters to name five of the best chocolate bars, and the ones they'd happily give up forever.
If you had asked me this when I was a kid, it would have been any chocolate bar under the sun. Love chocolate. Oh, I could sing you all the songs. A finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat. Or thinking about your chocolate. Or only the crumbliest, flakiest chocolate. The Milky Bar kid is strong and tough, and only the best is good enough, etc. Nowadays, though, Galaxy, especially Galaxy Caramel. Oh, can't resist it. And if I never had to look at another chocolate bar again, it would be Turkish Delight.
Hi, if I had to choose a chocolate bar that I liked the most, it would be this one, the Fry's Chocolate Cream. I like dark chocolate better than milk chocolate. And also when I was pregnant with my first child, I had about one of these or two of these a day. So good memories. In terms of the chocolate bar I don't like, it would have to be white chocolate. So I'm sorry, Milky Bar. I know you had a nice kid and everything, but I don't like Milky Bars.
Favourite chocolate bar is one that you don't get here. So every time I go home to Australia, I bring home a box full. And then, of course, my sister pinches, who lives here as well. She pinches half of them. And it's called a Cherry Ripe, which is coconut and glacé cherries wrapped in dark chocolate. And it's Australia's longest running. I think it's the oldest chocolate bar. It goes back to about the 1920s. But, yeah, they would be the one that we'd be a go-to when you were a kid. Quite expensive, though. You had to save up a bit for that one. And my least favourite would be the old Caramac, which I always felt tasted a bit like an ashtray. Even though as a kid I shouldn't know what an ashtray tastes like, but I didn't like those much at all. And so I wasn't sorry to see that I think they've hit their demise.
Favourite chocolate bar? Absolutely no problem. Telling you, I always have one handy. There we go, Star Bar. Brilliant, brilliant. As for the one that I would never eat again, Fry's Chocolate Cream. Oh, even saying the word turns my stomach. But Star Bars, big question. Why do they not make Star Bars Easter eggs? Unfortunately, they don't, or at least they don't seem to. So in the meantime, have to put up with this fella.
This is my favourite chocolate bar, which is, of course, the Whisper. For a couple of different reasons. I am a cereal dunker when it comes to biscuits and chocolate. This might make people feel physically sick whenever I tell them, but I like to dunk my Whisper into my coffee so it gets a wee bit molten and then bite off a good old chunk before dunking again. Normally it only takes me about 3 or 4 bites to get rid of one, but they are the king of the chocolate bars. Now, when it comes to the ones that I do not like, the absolute enemy of all chocolate lovers should be the Minty Aero. That is an evil, nefarious chocolate bar, because not only is it horrible in the first instance, but when it's used as an ingredient, it can masquerade as other things and lead you into terrible trouble. Occasionally, I've bought what I thought was a Malteser tray bake, thinking that I'm getting delicious bubbles of crunchy, malty, chocolatey goodness, but it's actually been an Aero mint bubble, and that is just beyond the pale. They're too sweet. They're too... yes, they're just too sweet, they're too sugary, and that is all I can say about them.
How is your garden growing as spring comes into bloom? Our resident gardener, Trevor Edwards, joined Carolyn on U105 Lunch to give his best tips on freshening up your flower beds once the rain gives way to sunshine.
It's U105 Lunch, Northern Ireland's best mix. Donna Summer taking Trevor back to his disco days. Where did you do your disco dancing, Trevor?
Oh, gosh. Well, my Donna Summer memory is in a taxi going round Athens.
Oh, right, okay.
And the taxi crashed, but he was playing Donna Summer Bad Girls, you know.
Right, okay. Where was he taking you while he was playing Bad Girls, dare I ask?
Probably to a nightclub, I would think.
Stephen from Belfast says, every year my lawn grass is reduced to small clumps of grass. Despite trying everything like reseeding or re-turfing, it's also a very shady garden. Stephen wants to know, why does that happen?
Stephen, firstly, check that you're getting as good a seed as you can get for the job, because you can now get seed that is purposely bred for low light levels, i.e. shady areas. So check that you're doing that. Sometimes if you use a far too fine, far too good quality, it won't react to it. And if it's patchy, might be fertilisation. It might be, you know, nutrients in the soil. If you had to do it again, I would rotate it, rake it, and introduce a lot of grit, and at the same time some humus into that as well. And then make sure you get a grass seed that is suitable for shady areas.
Okay. Julie says, indoor flowering jasmine. It hasn't flowered in 2 years, but it won't stop growing. I'm running out of places to put it because it's so tall. It does like the light. Can I take slips from it?
Oh, definitely you can take slips, Julie. There's no doubt about that. And it's quite easy. And that might be your insurance policy, is to take a number of slips. And don't worry, just take them very sort of semi-mature, not soft, but semi-mature cuttings, and put half a dozen of them in a small pot. However, I would prune it, and I would then feed it with tomato food. Tomato food is very high potash, and high potash will encourage flowering. That's my recommendation. Cuttings, prune, feed.
Brilliant. Now, I did show you a picture of Mac from Green Island, tree in his garden. It's a Christmas tree, he tells me. And he says it's about 2.5 metre tall. Can I cut it short by half to 1 metre?
Hi, Mac. You actually improved my step count there, because I had to run round the desk to have a look at the picture on Carolyn's screen. It is, in fact, yes, it's a pine of some sort. I can't quite see it. It might be a Nordman, but you're quite right in referring to it as a Christmas tree. If you cut it, you will have a stump forever and a day where you make that cut. You might get some side regrowth, but essentially you'll probably ruin the look of the tree. If it's too big where it is and it's 2.5 metres, it's vaguely possible it could transplant. You're running out of time to transplant it this year. I would wait until October. And if you had to move it between October and March. But definitely if you cut it, it's going to look ugly.
Yeah, it's not going to look good. How do I get rid of daisies? More daisies than grass in places, says Tommy.
Tommy, that's an easy one, but not just yet. The one time it'll work is when the daisies are actively growing, which is going to be May, June, and you go along to the Good Garden Centre and they will give you a selective weed killer that will take out the daisies. It's a lawn weed killer, and leave the lawn alone.
Okay. Now, we've got Joe here asking about, as Joe Donnelly says, he had this umbrella plant, indoor umbrella plant, for years. He says, for decades. It was very healthy until recently. Can you help me? And it literally is just dying. I've got a picture of it in front of me and it's just dead. I mean, the leaves are just dead on it.
Joe, describing it as an umbrella plant makes me think it might be a Scheffler or Schefflera. If it's gone to the stage that Carolyn's very word picturing correctly as dead.
It's D for dead.
Unlikely to revive. Yeah. Just rejoice in the memories you have of it for all those years. Nip out and get another one. But sorry, I can't give you a better prognosis.
No, you're definitely not getting anything. Joe, I can see that is
D for dead.
Without doubt, never coming back. Get rid of it. What else is I going to ask you now? Other questions coming in here. I don't want to let anybody down. If everybody sorted the thing, ask Trevor, what can I do with my forest flame? I think it got battered with the storms that we had. Mo in Lisburn, will it come back?
Hi, Mo in Lisburn. Forest flame, Pieris, P-I-E-R-I-S, will come back. It's fine. It's just got a bit of bruising. It's one of the ones that's lime-hating, so avoid big, deep mulches on it. And just to help it, if you get an ericaceous liquid feed, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Can she prune it?
Yeah, prune it. Pieris will prune. But again, I wouldn't prune it until next autumn. Mm-hmm. But yes, it'll prune. The usual theory of 1/3 at a time. Yeah. And then that'll encourage really nice, new, young, red, bright red growth.
Mm-hmm. I just sent you a picture there, Trevor. I'm just not sure if it came through to you, but have a wee look and see if it has arrived.
Yep.
Right. That's our final query for today. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh.
What is it?
Oh.
I'm scared to ask what I've sent you. What have I sent you? Let me see it.
I'll try and word picture this for the rest of this is a rather nice pot cover with a very damaged looking plant, but there's three bottles of wine sitting beside it.
Let me see. Is it good wine? Oh yes, that's the umbrella plant.
Okay, so this is the Scheffler. This is the, I think it is the chef. It is definitely.
I think the wine bottles are dead too.
Yeah. No, I can see.
Are they full?
No, there's Prosecco or something there. His top's right. On.
Okay, Joe, we're around a minute.
I tell you what I would do is prune it. prune it and take all that ugliness away, and you will soon see if it's going to redevelop again. And just in case you're going to be very, very sad, put one of those bottles in the fridge in case you need to drown your sorrows.
No, do you see the red? See the red, what are they called? The palm trees, the red ones. Like the
cordyline?
Yes.
Yeah, well done.
The red ones.
Uh-huh.
They're not as vigorous as the...
Oh, they're much, much slower as the normal cordyline astralis.
Yeah.
Much slower. And actually, it's quite good because then they can be kept in pots and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a time whenever you have to repot them if they're in the pot? I mean, at what point do you know it's time? Or can you just let them...
Well, you could squeeze it out of the pot
and
just have a look and see if there's a lot of root activity. Mm-hmm. But cordyline, the red ones, some Torbay red, I think, is one of them. They're generally really easy in pots.
Yeah, right, Gary, they look fine. And listen, take it from me, Trevor hasn't seen them. Because we've got to go. Trevor, if people want to get in touch, brilliant to have you back, by the way. We could talk all day.
Thank you.
We all love our gardens.
It's great to be back. And you've given me a tonic. You've perked me up as well. If you want to find me, Instagram, Trevor Edwards Gardens. And Facebook, I think, is Trevor Edwards Gardens as well.
He's all over the place. You'll not miss him. Thank you, Trevor.
With Minute to Win It as the best quiz going on the radio, you'd think folk would be biting Johnny's hand off to play along on U105 Drive. Hear how two of the week's competitors got on. And if you fancy a shot yourself, remember to keep your line free for the main man to call you back.
Okay, kicking off the quiz today, it's Marty. Marty, how you doing?
Not too bad, Johnny.
Not good. Are you up to much today?
Having a wee break, just as much as we are.
Ah, happy days. Have you anybody to help you then with the quiz?
I've got Johnny with me, yes.
Johnny? Okay, no problem at all. Right. Now, minute on the clock, you know the drill. If you're stuck, shout help. And if you do shout help, we'll give you the three choices to pick from. Okay?
Yep.
Here we go. What does a funambulist walk on?
Help.
Ice, a tightrope, or stepping stones?
Ice.
It's a tightrope. Area 51 is in which American state?
Nevada.
Nevada. Is correct. On a dartboard, what number is directly opposite number one?
19.
Correct. Which American president appears on a $1 bill?
George Washington.
Correct. How many colors are there in a rainbow?
7.
Correct. Which fast food chain's mascot is a clown?
McDonald's.
Correct. Cynophobia is the fear of which animal?
Help.
Cats, dogs, or rabbits?
Rabbits.
Dogs. The flag of the European Union has how many stars on it?
30.
12. A paso doble is a type of what?
Dance.
It is. Impressed with John D coming in with a couple there from the wings. You know, that's the way to have your helper. 12 points, Marty. That's a good score. Okay.
Thank you.
Might be speaking to you later on, mate. Thank you. Cheers, now.
All the best, John.
Thanks, mate. Marty and John D getting 12 points. So what we've given you, shoes, nail, furniture and silverware. Shoes, nails, furniture, silverware. They're the answers. What was the original survey question? Okay, so get on the text and WhatsApp at this stage. 077-66-105-105. A pair of tickets to see Curtis Staggers up for grabs. And you're 12-0 down. Toto Africa here on U105. I need a phone caller. Again, people send in their numbers and I've been ringing them and they're going to the answer machine. What is going on? So 90-333-105. Throw your hat into the ring. Got to say hello to Paul and Rosie. Johnny, we're here on our last day in Lanzarote. It has done nothing but rain since we got here. And the weather forecast for the rest of the week is sun splitting the trees. Paul, Rosie, I don't mean to laugh because that happened to us one year in Mallorca. Rained from the day and hour we got there to the day we got on the plane coming home. Shagging. Right, who we have here? Hold on a second. Right, who's this? Hello?
Hiya, Johnny, it's Enda.
Enda, how are you doing? This is going to sound strange. Are you the bed man?
I am.
Right, okay. Just got Enda the bed man is a phrase in my head. That's okay. No problem. Right. So, Enda, minute on the clock, bladder through these. If you're stuck, shout help, okay?
No
boy. All right, here we go. If you're envious, what colour are you said to be?
Green.
Correct. Who was the author of Jurassic Park?
Oh, Spielberg, don't know.
Right. Michael Crichton, Stephen King, or Dean Koontz?
Michael Crichton.
Is correct. What's the world's most expensive spice by weight?
It is saffron.
It is indeed. Which alcoholic drink is mainly made from juniper berries?
Gin.
Correct. What's the currency used in Poland?
Zloty.
Correct. In the USA, at what age can you legally purchase and drink alcohol?
25.
21. What sport is played by the Harlem Globetrotters?
Basketball.
Correct. On which Japanese city was the first atomic bomb dropped?
Hiroshima.
Correct. Which 70s movie is known for the famous quote, "Yo, Adrian"?
Rocky.
Is correct. See, it's you couldn't have missed it with the performance there, you know, so. Right. So, I'm trying to think. What did you have to beat? Was it 12? Yes, 12. 15 points, Enda. So you are the winner today.
Thank you.
And
super.
You get the tickets for Curtis Stigers, okay?
Brilliant.
So
yep,
thanks very much. We'll be in touch, Enda. Thank you.
Welcome.
Cheers now.
Okay.
There you go, folks.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. To hear more like this from Northern Ireland's best mix, tune in on FM, DAB, online, on the U105 app, and on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play U105.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.